This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church. As kingdom citizens and soldiers, we can rest assured in our salvation. As we face opposition from the adversary, we know that God will deliver us in the end. This assurance of God's protection is our helmet in spiritual warfare. Today, Pastor Sam will outline how our helmet functions in our daily life as he concludes a sermon titled, The Helmet of Salvation, from Ephesians 6 and other passages. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
When that peace was extended to you, it becomes the shield, it becomes the helmet, it becomes the armor that you wear when Satan comes in this life to assault you about the life to come. Because we know from Scripture that Satan is an accuser. And the greatest thing he wants to accuse you of is that you really don't belong to God, that you really aren't his. And I can't tell you the many, many believers, myself included, who have labored for years about the assurance of our salvation. Did I really pray the prayer correctly? Was I really sincere when I prayed it? I don't remember the exact day. Because you go to some messages and people say, like, you had a birthday. How do you know you had a birthday? Look around. You're here. You had a birthday and you know your birthday. So you should know your spiritual birthday. You should know the day, the time, and the hour. And I'm going, I have no clue. I think I was like 13. And then you start, well, like, I don't just think I was born in the month of October. I know I was born in the month of October. I have a birth certificate. So you take your Bible and you create a little birth certificate. You open up your Bible and you write a little thing there. On this day in the year of our Lord, 1900 and, for some of you, 01 or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever your day is, and you sign it. I was born again. And some of you had to scratch through that and write a different date. And some of you scratched through it a lot. And you got like 6 dates. And then you know, it's like you hear somebody preach. It's like, well, if you have any sin in your life that you can't overcome, then you must not be saved. Because everybody knows that Christians live victoriously. Really? I mean, we have victory. There is a victory that God has given. But I don't know about you, but there are certain sins that, I mean, it's like I have to struggle with those sins every single day. And it's like I can't get out of kindergarten. And so over a period of time, okay, it's okay, you know, when you're 12 and you're struggling with this, but when you're 50 and you're still struggling with it, and at some point you're like, God, I don't know if I'm saved. Something must have gone wrong. I know I said all the right words, but maybe it's like my computer. I put in the password and I hit and it just clicked and clicked and clicked, and I'm afraid to keep doing this because I don't want to get locked out. And Paul says, I need to explode that thinking out of your head. Because it's never been like that. It's never been like that. Your salvation never depended on your prayer. It never depended on your obedience. It never depended on the monopoly money of your righteousness. It never depended on any of that. It was always based on the obedience that Jesus rendered and the righteousness that he fulfilled and the peace that he made. And he gave it to you when you came to him and you asked him for it. Plain and simple. So how does this helmet work? If that's true, how does it work? And that's really the second question, and it's very simple in this way. The helmet delivers me from God's wrath to come. It actually gives me confidence that I will be delivered from the wrath to come. And we saw that in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10. And then it protects me from the present wrath of Satan. We read this text together this morning as we began our worship. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Where is all of that coming from? Where is tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness coming against a Christian from? Answer, it's coming from Satan. It's coming against you. As it is written, remember, God said to this Redeemer in Isaiah 59, I put my spirit on you, and I'm going to give you words, and those words are going to be the words that you give to your offspring. Well, here are some of those words. It is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Here's the answer. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then Paul says this, for I am sure. I am confident. What are you so confident about? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now stop and think about this. God's character stands behind that promise. If you go back to Isaiah 59, this Redeemer, God, is going to send a Redeemer, but God is coming in this Redeemer with righteousness and salvation. His promise to deliver is based on his righteous character. If God fails to do something that he promised, he is no longer righteous. So when God makes a promise, his entire deity is staked on the fulfillment of that promise. That's why in Romans 9, the question, has God's word failed, is such an amazing and important question. Because if God's word failed, then all of what we read about in Romans 1 through 8, the righteousness of God being imputed to you on the basis of the work of Christ, if God failed to keep even one of his promises to Israel, then all of that is null and void because God's character has been broken. And so when God makes you a promise, you can rest assured with full confidence that his character backs that promise. And it's not just that. We can actually see his actions verifying and validating his promise. God has a perfect track record of keeping his promises. Not once. Not one detail. Not one condition. Nothing. Every single promise that God has ever made in his word, he has kept. And the biggest illustration of that is right back in Isaiah 59. God said, I'm going to send a Redeemer. And when that Redeemer comes, he's going to bring four things. He's going to bring righteousness, and then he's going to bring deliverance, salvation. And then he's going to bring vengeance, and he's going to bring zeal or wrath. Years ago, God kept his promise. He sent that Redeemer, and his name was Jesus. And when he came the first time, what did he bring with him? Righteousness and salvation. I mean, the gospel writers themselves say that he came to seek and to save what? That which was lost. He learned obedience. He suffered obediently unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we can look back now over 2,000 years and we can see that God kept that promise. But what about the second part of the promise? What about the whole bit about God coming in zeal and in wrath with vengeance on those who refuse to repent? And the whole book of Revelation is the story of that side of the promise. So we can look back and see that God has kept his promises, and we can look forward and have full confidence that the same God who sent Jesus the Redeemer the first time is going to send Jesus the Redeemer the second time. And when Jesus the Redeemer shows up the second time with wrath for his enemies and you stand before him, this helmet tells you, you can stand there with joyful anticipation that you will be delivered. You will be delivered. And that brings us to the third question, and that is this: what will wearing this helmet require of me? So Pastor Sam, I want that helmet. I need that confidence. I need that assurance. And I would just suggest to you that as you think about that helmet, it starts here. You must examine yourselves the same way Paul told the Corinthians to examine themselves to make sure they were in the faith. Listen to how Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Don't take this for granted. Test yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail to meet the test? So how do I test myself? What's the point that I'm trying to discover? What is it I'm trying to examine to make sure is true? And the answer is this: is Jesus Christ in me? Is the Holy Spirit of God in me or not? So let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life where nobody else knew about something you had done, some sin you had committed, and you felt an immediate, deep sorrow? You just knew this, that there was this sinking feeling that came in your heart. Nobody knew about it. There's no way anybody was going to know that there was just this sinking feeling in your heart, and you knew instinctively that you had displeased God with that. Has that ever happened to you? Can I just say to you, that's a really good thing. Because that's not the devil producing that in you. There's somebody else inside you producing that, and it's the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Has there ever been in your life a profound change in some area of your life? Now, be really careful before you answer this, because we tend to look at one area of our life where we struggle and we can't seem to get any victory, and we take that one slice and we superimpose it around the rest of our life, but we forget that that's just one slice. There's a whole nother section of the pie. And so I'm asking you, step back from the slice. In fact, put that off to the side for a minute and look at the rest of your life and say, has there been any evidence of change and growth in me? And you know what I would bet? Even for most of you who may be caught up in that slice, there are people in your life who would look at you and say, oh, no. You are a different person than you were 10 years ago or 5 years ago or a year ago. Where did that growth come from? I mean, have you ever just found yourself reading the scripture and it's just been monotonous, or you come to church and it's just monotonous, and then one time you're there and just like the word of God just opens up and you're like, how did I miss that? You know what just happened? The Holy Spirit did something. I mean, if those are the kinds of things that have happened to you, you can be pretty sure that the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside you. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, Paul said in Ephesians 1, he is the guarantee of your salvation. Examine yourself that way. And then remain faithful to the faith. Colossians 1, 22 and 23, he is now reconciled in his body by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith. Keep believing. We get so worried about, did we believe way back when I was 4? And I'm not so much worried about whether or not you believed at 4. What I really want to know is, are you believing right now? Keep believing. Did you stop believing that there's another, that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Did you stop believing that he became your sin substitute? Keep believing. And then in 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. Make your calling election sure. How? Through diligent addition of the virtues that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1. And then resting in his word and not in your works. Confident trust in God's written word. God, this is what you said. And because your character stands behind these words, I am going to rest in them. Confident trust in God's written word and faithful obedience to God's revealed will in that word. That's how the helmet works. It starts with examining myself to make sure that Jesus Christ is in me and I am in him. It involves remaining faithful to what I believe about him. I need to keep believing. It's the idea of making my calling and election sure by not taking my spiritual growth for granted. I'm actually engaged in the process of growth and resting in his words and not in my works. And that brings us to the final thing, and that is this. How can I be confident? Pastor Sam, I heard everything you said this morning. I've been following along in Isaiah 59. I've been taking notes. I get what you said, but I still have this question. How do I know the helmet works? How can I be confident that it will protect me? And so I thought about that, and I found two stories in our Bible that help us with that. And I want to tell those stories to you as we close this morning. The first story occurs in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. It's the story of a time in Jesus' life right after he did his miracles. John has seven miracles that are unique to John. And the first of those miracles you know very well. It's the miracle when he went to a wedding. Remember, he went to a wedding and he turns water into wine. And so he's in Cana of Galilee, and we're not quite sure exactly whether he stayed there or he was moving out of that little city. But as he is in that region, Cana of Galilee, there is an official, an important official from the city of Capernaum who comes to see him. He walked an entire day's journey to get there. And as soon as he comes to Jesus, he starts pouring out his desperate plea. My son is dying. I need deliverance. I need you to save my son. And Jesus does an amazing thing to him. He says to the father, go your way, your son will be well. Now, I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to think about this. You go to the emergency room, and you get hold of a doctor, and you grab him by his stethoscope, and you say to him, Doc, my little boy is sick, and he's dying, and I need help. And that doc looks at you and says, look, go home. Your kid's going to be fine. What would you do? Most of us would engage in nuthetic counseling with that doctor at this point, because we're not going to take that for an answer. But you know what this father did? He turned around and he walked a whole day's journey back. And as soon as he got home, his servants met him at the door and they said to him, you'll never believe this. Your son is well. He's getting better. And the dad had a question. Remember the question? When did this start happening? When did the turn come? When did he start getting better? And the answer that the servants gave him was this: about this time yesterday. And John wants you to know something. That man thought back to this time yesterday, and he remembered where he was. He was at the feet of a Jewish rabbi named Jesus, who said, go your way, your son lives. You know, there was a day when you came to that same Jewish rabbi, Jesus, and you said to him, I'm sick of my sins. I want you to forgive me. I want you to deliver me. I want you to save me. You know what Jesus said? Go your way. Your sins are forgiven. And you're going to walk the rest of your earthly journey to the Father's house. And when you finally get there, whether it's 40 years, 50 years, 70 years later, you're going to be welcomed in. And if you were to ask the question, so when did this happen? When did all of these sins get forgiven? The answer is going to be, remember, way back when you knelt down and you asked Jesus, and he said, go your way, your sins are forgiven. They were forgiven back then. That's what this helmet is designed to do. You say, well, that was the nobleman, and it was about his kid. It wasn't about himself. Well, there's a second person who wore this helmet, and it's shocking. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 is sacred ground. Chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, talk about Jesus at the very end of his life. Remember what had been promised to Jesus. His father in Daniel 7 had promised him a kingdom. He had promised him authority. He had promised him a people. He had promised him glory. And Jesus put his faith in that promise, and he came to dwell among men. He came as a man to dwell among men. And he lived in perfect obedience. And in his 30th year of life, the arch enemy of all of this, who showed up in Daniel chapter 7, shows up and says to him, I will give you a kingdom. I will give you all of the kingdoms. And Jesus had to make a choice. Was he going to believe in the promise of his father, or was he going to take the offer that was at hand? You say, well, that's easy. No, it wasn't easy. Because in order to take the promise of the Father, he had to believe something. He had to believe that God would actually raise him from the dead. He actually had to believe the very same thing that you believe. He had to believe that at the end of his life, that if he would just keep obeying and keep walking, even if that walk took him all the way to the cross and into a tomb, that on the third day, his father would fulfill his word to him and raise him up from the dead. And by the way, did God come through? And the answer is what? Yes. And just like he came through for Jesus, he will come through for you. And that's why Jesus stands in front of you today and he says, look, I know what you're going through. I know that your strength has failed you. I know that your fears assail you. I know that your sin has overwhelmed you. I know that your failure has broken you. I know the darkness that has descended that doesn't lift. I know that death approaches. I know that. Believe me, I was there. And I want to give you something that I wore that will serve you like it served me. And it is a helmet of confident expectation that the same God who raised me from the dead will raise you from the dead. And in fact, that's exactly what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. That's why this helmet is so precious. That's why it can't be your salvation. It has to be the salvation, the deliverance that God wrought through our Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we wear the confident expectation that the promises he made, that he wrote down in his word, stay in our mouth, and we confidently trust in them, it doesn't matter what Satan throws at us. It doesn't matter how hard he hits us. It doesn't matter where the blows come from. It doesn't matter what he takes away. It doesn't matter what he denies. We just keep going forward because our hope is in the Lord. And as he was raised on the third day to the highest parts of heaven, Paul says, you will also be raised with him and seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's your helmet. Don't ever put it down. Don't ever lose. Hang on to it. Wear it. Because in it is our strength.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon series, Winning the War for Your Soul, next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the lead teaching pastor of Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Come join our worship service at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by Ryan Ahrens and C.J. Billiou. Thank you for listening. Please join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.